From between the hedges at Sanford Stadium to the practice fields, from Stegman Coliseum and wherever else the Bulldogs are playing, it's time to talk Georgia sports.
Touchdown, Dogs win it!
From the Athens Banner Herald, here are your hosts, Mark Weiser and Ryan Dennis.
Hey, welcome in. It's the Bulldogs Extra Podcast. Mark Weiser with Ryan Dennis. Ryan?
Yeah, man.
Georgia legend is retiring. Another longtime Bulldog coach is up for the College Football Hall of Fame. Kirby Smart is about to get paid even more. And the Bulldog athletic year is coming to an end. And we will pick where Georgia players that we think are all SEC worthy as some of those preseason magazines are flowing out. Ryan, we start with the most important thing. Where do you stand on the all-important all-white uniforms that recruits were wearing last weekend, including Arch Manning? I know you're kind of a traditionalist. I wonder where you stand on the white uniform thing.
Well, you know, I think it goes back to the way that Bulldogs have performed in other uniforms at times. And you think about what Florida 2009 with the Grambling-looking uniforms, and you think about the Power Ranger uniforms in 11. Didn't turn out so well for the Bulldogs in those scenarios. But I thought they looked clean. Is that how the kids call it? Is that what?
I mean, what does that mean?
They look nice. They look, they're not overly ugly.
One thing I want to say about the uniforms is I did not like the Colorado Rockies uniform last weekend against the Braves.
I did like them. They looked softballish.
No, did not exactly.
I didn't think they were terrible.
Yes, they were. They were terrible. Give me the Milwaukee Brewers throwback baseball caps.
Dude, the Robin Yount uniforms, those types.
Give me that.
Oh yeah.
Give me the Braves when they wear their 70s uniforms.
Yeah, with the little feather on the cap, so to speak.
I don't care about the all white. It's fine.
I thought it looked okay, and you know, if they broke those out sometime, I don't think that'd be terrible. But yeah, I know a lot of people argue that there's not much better than just the silver breeches and a red uniform.
Does anybody really care what Georgia wears against Kent State? I mean, roll out on that. Isn't that, what time is that? Is that like a 12 or 4 p.m. kickoff? I don't know. Whatever. If Arch Manning wants it, if Carson Beck wants it, if any of these Bulldogs want, it's all good.
I mean, if it brings in a...
But I like Georgia's traditional uniform, too.
I do, too. But if it brings in a five-star recruit, I bet people won't be, quote-unquote, complaining about said uniform so much.
Ryan, we knew that Jack Barrelly was going to retire at some point year or two or three or, but he has retired. And we don't talk about Georgia swimming much on this show, but everybody that is a Georgia fan knows about Jack Barrelly. He's been around Athens and UGA for more than 50 years, came here out of a town outside of Philadelphia in 1970. I talked to him yesterday after the word came out about this. He said he never got an airplane before he flew to NC State like as a junior in high school. And now he's visited like 31 countries because he's, Olympic coach and national team coach and recruiting all over the place. I don't know if you hear him talk on the radio. He does the local deal where he'll just call in sometimes and just talk sports. He's just a very energetic guy, a fun guy to talk to, and 7 national championships at Georgia. And a boatload of Olympians. Ryan, I know you're big in the world of goggles and butterfly strokes. Mm-hmm. So what's your thoughts?
Oh, well, I mean, obviously he's a legend. I'll go ask you, you said you talked for 20 minutes. Was that just one question? Did you even get a question in, or did he just talking?
And I will say you do have to kind of stop him and, exactly, and move on to the next question because he does like to talk, but he's very colorful. Says he's going to go on a safari to Botswana with his wife sometime in the next year, and he's a big surf guy. He's probably done that like in Acapulco or wherever else. So
I remember when I was a student working for the Red and Black at UGA, and I sat in with him and a few other journalists before going to what was the 08 Olympics, Beijing, I believe. And you were in there for an hour and a half because he just kept talking, and one of the big things was him being a surfer. But yeah, I mean, he'll go down as a UGA legend, and you know what he was able to do, especially with the women's program. What was it, 8 national titles with the women's program?
Seven.
I mean, he's a legend, and like you said, I think when it comes to sports like that, you know, your mark is made by the Olympics, because that's what everybody looks kind of toward, and how you can produce Olympians. And there was really nobody better, you know. And you think about Allison Schmidt, what she just competed in her 4th, 5th Olympics as a UGA legend. And then, you know, he'd have swimmers on the current team win for, say, South Africa in swimming and stuff like that. And I mean, it was whenever the Olympics came around, and that's when the sport was at its highest, Jack Byerly was talked about every Olympics, because he had 4, 5, 6 swimmers winning medals and oftentimes gold medals. And you know what he was able to do both nationally for the country and for the University of Georgia is incredible.
So the men finished 8th, I believe it was, this year. Women 15th, which is, you know, that's not necessarily kind of the standard for that program historically, at least on the women's side. So, you know, whether recruiting was catching up, but, you know, it's hard to recruit when you're that age. I know I wrote about Manny Diaz's men's tennis contract extension. I think it was maybe sometime in the last year. And he said one of the reasons he wanted the extension, which I think took him like 4 more years, was that, you know, to quiet people on opposing coaching staff saying that, hey, he's about to retire or something. I think Manny might be a year younger than Jack. Jack is 70.
You think about Nick Saban, right? And because he's about that same age and gets a 12-year contract, and it's all about the recruiting and saying that they're going to be here for a long time.
Is that what his contract is? Is it 12 years?
Yeah, I don't know the specifics on it, but I do know that it always seems to add a year or two, and you're like, dang, this guy's, you know, if he lives out his contract, he's going to coach to 87 years old.
So Georgia's AD Josh Brooks, you know, this obviously had been in the works for a while, because a few hours later they announced that they are hiring a men's and women's coach. The women's coach is Stephanie Williams Marino, who was a accomplished swimmer at UGA and is in the Circle of Honor. And then Neil Versfeld, South African, who also swam at UGA, was on the Olympic team for South Africa, is the men's coach. But they're kind of separating the programs, which is interesting to me, because when they hired the new women's track coach, or the new track coach last year, they didn't do that. They kept them, Carol Smith Gilbert's coaching both the men and the women. So I haven't had a chance to ask Josh about kind of why he's doing that, but maybe it's different in the world of swimming. I don't know.
Also that they went out and got, you know, her from USC and kind of keeping it in-house here at UGA.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, Stephanie Williams Marino was 10 years on the Georgia staff,
right,
so
right,
she was probably getting, you know, kind of prepared for that possibility. All right, that's about as much. We'll probably talk about swimming next in the next Olympics rolls around. I don't know, but Mark Richt is on the College Football Hall of Fame ballot. So is Garrison Hurst, the running back. This is, what, 3 years after Rick retired, I believe, mm-hmm, from Miami, out of coaching. And I think they usually announce that kind of like the day of the national championship game. So it'll be a while still, but I think votes are due later this summer. Ryan, Mark Richt, a Hall of Famer in your mind?
Yeah. I mean, I think so. What do you have, 150-something wins here at UGA? And that's not including the run he had as offense coordinator under Bobby Bowden down at FSU. And, you know, I think when you start talking about, I mean, on-field accomplishments, I think he's well worthy. He's, what, just short of a national title from being, you know, in elite company. And, you know, he came, turned Georgia around to SEC championships early in his time here. And, yeah, I think he's definitely worthy of being in the College Football Hall of Fame. What are your thoughts?
Well, it's an interesting conversation, because, you know, Jim Donnan is a Hall of Famer, and, you know, he was fired, I guess it was 5 seasons maybe at Georgia. But that's not why he's in the Hall of Fame, for what he did at Georgia. And he had a pretty good winning percentage at Georgia, but, you know, didn't, you know, coach at the same time as Steve Spurrier. And,
well, Georgia Tech losses too didn't help.
Yeah, but he's in there for what he did at Marshall, which is win a national championship at the, which was the 1AA level at that time.
Right.
And Also, you know, an accomplished assistant coach at Oklahoma. But the interesting thing also with Mark Richt is that if you look at the guys that are nominated among coaches, this time around, there's 9 nominations. He's got the best winning percentage of any of them. It's 728, 171-64 overall. Next up, closest on that list is Larry Coker at Miami and Texas San Antonio. He's at 647.
He does have a national championship.
He does have a national championship in his first season at Miami. Also on this list, Paul Johnson. It'll be interesting if they both can. Now, Johnson also national championship, right, at Georgia Southern. Yeah. Was it more than one even? It might have been more than one. I don't know.
So, yeah.
Yeah, so you probably see a lot of these. I mean, I don't know if Coker would get in. He's 86-47 as a head coach.
Yeah, I mean, Mark Richt trumps that easily.
Yeah, so we'll see. But, you know, I think you should expect he will get in. I don't know if it's a first ballot type thing. I don't know exactly the machinations of that as well. Frank Solich also on there in Nebraska, 173-101 overall, including many years at Ohio.
What are Garrison's chances?
I don't know.
I mean, obviously, that great, 92 season, I think it was.
I mean, just look at the running backs on this list. You got Reggie Bush, and I don't know if he was...
Is he eligible? I mean, is that a...
I guess so. I mean,
how does that work?
I don't know if he's been on there before or not, but you got Kijana Carter, DJ Jozier, Vaughn Dunbar, Warwick Dunn. There's an awful lot of running backs on here. Toby Gerhart, Craig Hayward.
Ironhead?
Yeah, D'Angelo Williams. I mean, how many running backs can they put in? Eric Rett, Marshawn Lynch. So, you know, I don't know if he'll get in, but there's, you know, 80 players on this list. So congratulations to Mark Richt. I think I brought up with him that he was going to be eligible when I did that story on him back in November before he was honored.
Knowing him, he probably brushed it off, didn't he?
I can't remember. I mean, it wasn't the, you know, the foremost in conversation. I kind of brought it up in passing, and it turned out that to be nominated for the Hall of Fame, he needed to have been Georgia or Miami would have had to kind of submit the paperwork, and I think that's a Lauren Smith thing. He probably filled out the paperwork for Mark Richt.
That sounds right.
To get that done. All right. Well, it's been a couple of weeks since we podcast, so you know, I think it was maybe the day or two after Georgia's athletic board went behind closed doors, where they sent us media types out the door of the palatial, what's the golf course over there, Reynolds Plantation. Yeah. At the Ritz-Carlton Lodge. Ryan, I know you usually stay at the Ritz-Carlton Lodge a couple weekends a year. You play golf on that course. How is that? Do you enjoy playing golf there?
Jeez, I wish I could play that course.
How much would it cost to play there?
I don't know. I've never even looked into it. Do you have to be a member of Reynolds Plantation?
I don't know.
It's way out of a journalist budget. You have to like know somebody to get in down there. Now
you do?
I bet if you called somebody.
Can you go play up at North Carolina where they have the U.S. Open course?
Pinehurst? Yeah. Is that? I think you can.
Is that a public course?
And it's pretty expensive. I think I've looked into that. But you have to stay like 3 or 4 nights, and it's like $800 or something for your time there, plus golf and everything. I've never played. I've seen the Reynolds Plantation course down there at Lake Oconee, and it looks like it could host a major. And I do believe there was a big-time event there for women's golf last year, if I'm not mistaken. Some type of major tournament.
By the way, I'm looking up. I'm curious now. Guess how much it costs for a round of golf at Pebble Beach, which is a public course?
Yeah, I'm going into 500s.
575, yeah. Baby. Do it.
So you want to go out there next month?
I mean, right now I need to just go to the driving range type place. What's that called? The Top Golf?
Yeah. I went there last Saturday, in fact.
Oh, did you? The one in Duluth or whatever?
My wife's birthday. We went to Buford. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Nice. No, my game is not such that I can go on these courses. I don't even play. So I did play Top Golf a couple times, but that's about it. All right. Anyway, Kirby's about to make a lot of money. They went behind closed doors, and they said we're working on a long-term deal, finalizing the deal with his agent. And he will be paid commiserate with a national championship coach, which, you know, Saban's at like 9-8 or something. I don't have the numbers in front of me, but you got Jimbo Fisher, you got Dabo Swinney. So, you know, expect that when that rolls out. And, you know, you mentioned 12 years for Saban. I don't know if that's even the number, but, you know, Kirby's not going anywhere unless he wants to. So it'd be interesting to see, you know, I don't know what's taken them so long. Probably, like, is he getting, you know, like a Rolls Royce every year for his kids when they turn 16. I don't know what's
going
on.
What about a plane upgrade?
Well, and I wrote about that the last time was, you know, they had a deal, not about a plane, but he has access to a private plane to take the family.
Right. 25 hours or something?
I don't know. It was, hey, you need to get that plane deal to fly you to Pebble Beach is what you need.
Yeah. That would be cool.
You mean getting a private plane for him and his staff to fly around? Maybe.
Well, how about the Kirby copter upgrade? I mean, that thing's kind of yellow. I mean, it needs like a big...
Nah, he's had multiple colors this year.
It needs like a Power G on the side, right?
I don't know.
Yeah.
All right. Well, you know, you're not going to get any beer if you're a Georgia fan unless you're sitting in the expensive seats during the game. Let's say it's, you know, you're watching Georgia play Auburn this year and, you know, you're feeling like things are good. We're up by 3 touchdowns and we need to, you know, celebrate this thing with a round of beer for everyone in my section. Mm-hmm. You can't go do it.
We're about to do the old sneak a bottle uh-huh. In the underwear of.
Oh, is that what you do?
I've never done it, wink. But I've known people that have. You know, you get a little thing, a Jack airline bottle in the sock or something. Nobody knows.
Josh Brooks also getting a pay bump. That will not be. They didn't say that's going to be like a long term deal that they're locking him up for 10 years. But and also didn't say they're going to pay him as much as a national championship athletic director. But he's going to, I guess, presumably move up, which you know near the bottom of the SEC. So. Been a busy year and a half for Mr. Brooks. Barrelly is now the 6th head coach that's moved on from Georgia. Some got pushed out, but you know that's a lot for that time. McGarrity didn't really have anything in his last 2+ years. I think it was Mark Fox was the last one, and then like you know trying to determine when he's going to step out, retire. You know,
so his last hire was Tom Crean too, right?
That was his last hire. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You're not. You're saying that wasn't a good one.
Well, it didn't turn out so well.
All right. Hey, you know who else is getting paid? Todd Monken, $2 million a year is his new deal. And you know, Georgia, obviously Dan Lanning and Mel Tucker before him got a lot of praise. And you know, after Jim Chaney and James Coley, Todd Monken's very popular now with what he's done with the offense and Stetson Bennett, and now this year to see what he's going to do with these assortment of tight ends that we're going to talk about when we do our all-SEC projections. But, Ryan, the other thing is, I don't know if you've noticed all these TV game time announcements. No night games, at least until October. They've announced the first 4 games of the season, and I don't have them in front of me either, but they're anywhere from, like, I guess the opener's at 3:30. Mm-hmm. You have some 4 o'clock kicks, some noon kicks. You good with that?
Yeah, I think that's...
I mean, it's kind of hot in September.
See, the 3:30 and 4, I think that's an ideal start because you kind of fade into the sunset there at the end of the game, which is nice and cooling down. But, you know, I don't... You know, you don't think about night games for Georgia too often. Notre Dame was an 8 o'clock kick. You know, you might think of a 7 o'clock.
Mississippi State game, wasn't that night game?
It was. Yeah. But I mean, those are few and far between, if you ask me. It's usually a noon to 4 windows when Georgia's
kicking. What was Tennessee last year? Was that 3:30 or was that a night game? I can't remember.
It was 3:30 up in Tennessee.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember because I had to go to they had a Saturday playoff football game at Athens Academy I had to go to and listen to on the ride there.
Yeah. Okay.
Hey, we were talking golf earlier. Did you catch any of the live this morning that featured one Hudson Swafford?
Ryan, that's on my list of things to talk about. You're kind of batting out of order.
My bad.
But
didn't know.
But if you want to talk about it now, we can just do that. No, I did not. Did you watch it on YouTube?
I watched them like 10 minutes.
So how does it work? Because it's a shotgun start, so everybody's on the course at the same time, right?
Yeah.
So what do you have, 18 camera angles? 18?
Well, the only thing I saw, they followed Phil and DJ, of course. But, of course, everybody's favorite around here. Patrick Reed obviously took the money to play out there. But, yeah, I guess the biggest surprise as far as UGA goes is that Hudson Swafford chose to play. And as the commissioner of the PGA announced this morning, indefinite suspensions to anybody from the PGA Tour for anybody playing in LIV. Now, I guess they'll laugh with their $25 million they're going to make out of it. But
yeah, I mean, this one's in London, but I think they're going to be doing Portland, Oregon, some more events in the States, maybe down at Doral in Florida, which isn't Trump own that one now, I think?
Maybe.
I think he does. So, yeah, I mean, it's an interesting call. I mean, right, if you go play in the PGA Tour this week in Canada, right, it's in the Canadian Open, mm-hmm. and you don't make the cut, you're not making any money, right?
That is true.
Yeah, they're going to have to change that, I think.
They're going to have to, absolutely. I think that's going to be the big change, and I think that's what Phil initially was talking about when he was saying he wanted to make change for the PGA Tour, which I guess that... He's banned now, so he doesn't really care about the PGA Tour. But, yeah, I think that's what's going to have to change is you get something for being in the event, even if you miss the cut.
Ryan, we have some breaking update from the event in London on the LIV Golf London event. This is according to the Sporting News, which has a live update leaderboard. Tied for first between, and I never heard of these guys, Fakara Kungwatame.
Hey, this is the family podcast.
Have you heard of that guy? Language?
No, I haven't.
-3 along with Hane Du Plessis. Dustin Johnson tied for fourth, and Brandon Grace also tied for fourth.
The bad thing about that, I mean, they're going to have to get some bigger names to, if they're going to.
Well, I mean, they have some big names, but it looks like they're not at the top of the leaderboard.
Either you're going to have to get bigger names, which, I mean, obviously, I hope they don't. Or, I mean, DJ and whoever is going to, maybe Louis Oosthuizen is going to win every event.
Chase Koepka, Brooks' brother, apparently is playing.
Yeah, little brother. Mm-hmm.
Does he play? What does he play? Where does he play?
I mean, he was kind of a fringe PGA guy for a while. Okay. And I think he got an exemption into one of the majors COVID year. Yeah.
Well, look, these guys are making a lot of money, and it was interesting. I did watch the press conferences, you know, clips of them yesterday where they kind of, you know, had to watch what they said about, I mean, now Mickelson did say, of course, we don't condone human rights violations, and we don't, you know, it was terrible that Jamal Khashoggi was killed. You know, as we talk about the Saudi-backed golf tour, but, you know, he didn't want to get into anything about his beef with the PGA and what he said about it. And, you know, someone else was asked, it was Lee Westwood, was asked, is there any place you wouldn't play? If Vladimir Putin wanted you to go play golf in Russia, would you play? And he said, well, that's a hypothetical, and I don't really want to get into that.
But if the money was right. Interesting.
So Hudson Swafford, I mean, I noticed he was never a podcast guest like some of his former Georgia teammates. So, you know, I'm just saying, we picked the right ones, right?
Absolutely.
Do you know Hudson? Did you has he been in the Masters that you've covered?
Yeah, he was in this year.
Yeah, and so were you surprised that he
a little bit because I think what's going to happen is the ban is going to keep rolling, and it might include the Masters or U.S. Open and a PGA, definitely a PGA. So I think this might be a oh crap moment here in the next year or so when they can't qualify or. Yeah, no, because, I mean, to get into the Masters, there's a lot of qualifications, but one of them is winning on the PGA Tour, world rankings, which apparently they're not getting through the LIV Tour. I mean, it's going to be interesting to see what happens in about a year.
Look, Hudson Swafford, according to SpotRack, I think that's might be how you pronounce it, which does a great job of, like, when you get a Georgia guy drafted in the NFL, you can look up where he's slotted and what he'll make. Guess how much money Swafford has made as a professional golfer, according to this website?
$16
million. Oh, no, not that much. But still, I mean, $9.65 million. I mean, I think he could retire and be pretty comfortable.
You can say the same like for Dustin Johnson, right?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, he's
made
billions, and well, maybe not that much, but there's always more out there, I guess.
Yeah, so it'll be interesting to watch, you know, what happens with that drama with the PGA Tour, and do you think they timed it to kind of have it happen the same week as the PGA Tours in Canada, which is kind of off the radar?
I don't know. I mean, there's some big names in that event. Rory McIlroy was Justin Thomas was in that. But I find it, what is next week's the U.S. Open, right?
Yes, it is.
So,
since you decided that this would be the golf portion of the show, U.S. Open next week in Brookline, Massachusetts. Here are your Georgia golfers in that event: Harris English, Brian Harman, Russell Henley, Kevin Kisner, Sepp Straka. And I did not see Bubba Watson's name on there.
Yeah, he's out. He's hurt.
So he wasn't even on there. Like, did he qualify for it?
I'm sure he would have qualified. But he had meniscus surgery. Right. I think he's out the rest of the entire year.
You know, Kisner, who is an interesting guy.
And a fan of the podcast.
don't know if he's a fan. He's been a guest. but he's an interesting guy. He would have been someone I would have guessed would be like more likely to do the deal with the LIV Golf, just because he's a little bit provocative at times, I feel like. I don't know.
I feel like he's a good American, right?
So what are you saying about Hudson?
Well, no comment there. But I don't know. To me, Kisner feels like a guy that's he's happy at home. He's made a good living here. USA.
Now, there were other Georgia golfers that were in sectional qualifying on Monday this week, mm-hmm. and none of them, I believe, made it into the field. Ryan, you had a local golfer you wrote about out of one of our high schools. It was North Oconee?
North Oconee, yeah.
And he learned going from high school to trying to get into the Open. It's kind of a dicey situation.
He struggled a little bit.
Name? What's his name?
Luke Koenig. Uh-huh.
Is he going to Georgia? You know, where's he going?
Funny. He was supposed to go to Coastal Carolina, where Dustin Johnson.
Right.
But they fired their coach mid-May, and so he kind of backed out and asked for his release from his...
Where's he going?
He doesn't know yet. He hopes to make a decision by July 1st, but it could be a University of Georgia. We'll see. But, yeah, you mentioned the qualifying over in Roswell. Brendan Todd was a couple strokes short. Keith Mitchell shot a 4-over in the first round and said, screw it, withdrew.
Well, I mean, you're saying that. Maybe he had an injury that you don't know about.
Nah. There was a long list of guys that didn't shoot exactly what they wanted and said, you know what, I got better things to do.
All right.
Trent Phillips, sorry, former or current slash just graduated Georgia golfer, didn't make it. I'm interesting to see, Davis Thompson was in that, but he withdrew after winning the Korn Ferry Tour event last week, so...
All right, do we want to take a break because we've been talking a long time, or do you want to just keep on trucking?
Yeah, let's take a quick break. Right. I gotta get my vocal cords saturated.
All right, we'll be right back. All right, Ryan, let's bounce around with some more topics before we get out of here. And we want to hit on the SEC thing I talked about. Georgia baseball season, the Super Regionals are this weekend, but Georgia's not participating. Bounced by North Carolina Sunday after going 1-2. Haven't got out of regionals in 9 seasons under Scott Strickland, which is 8 tournaments during that time. The COVID season obviously was stopped. Georgia's made 3 out of the last 4 regionals that they've had them. Ryan, what's going on with Georgia baseball? How are you feeling about the Bulldogs?
They need a good year next year. I mean, to me, Strickland's had what? How many years? 8 years? This is 8th season.
He'll be entering his 10th Georgia season.
Wow! Wow! And never gotten to a super, has he?
No, I just said that. Thank you for listening.
Yeah. Sorry. I was trying to calculate everything in my head that's going on. I mean, obviously the first 5 or 6 were struggles, mm-hmm. and then he turned it around. They had a nationally ranked, nationally seed, I think 4th 1 year, maybe 6th another. And I mean, you also have to look at how they were a little screwed over in 2020, right? I mean, you had the Emerson Hancock, you had Wilcox.
When you say they were screwed over, who are you blaming the pandemic on?
China. No, I'm just kidding. The COVID. The season getting canceled. If they'd have kept going, because what were they? It was 17-1 or something when the pandemic hit, and they were rolling. They had at least 3 good starters, and that's what you need at that level. And of course, season was canceled. Wilcox goes in the draft. Emerson Hancock. So you had to kind of rebuild from that standpoint. Now, what will be 3 years out from that next year? The pitching has suffered greatly. It's been a huge issue, mm-hmm. especially this year with the walks. After Cannon, who struggled a little bit down the stretch, it was, the old saying, spawn and sane and pray for rain. It was like, throw out Cannon and then I don't know what you do after that, right? And so he needs to at least get to the Super Regionals next year, or I think there needs to be change maybe.
Oh, looking for the column about that, mm-hmm. which will be coming soon. Check out Online Athens. Question is, the pitching obviously, wasn't up to par this season. Had a bunch of injuries, and, their best pitcher, Jonathan Cannon, did not pitch well down the stretch as he came back from an injury. Now they're going to lose the Tate brothers. Maybe they'll lose... Will Connor come back? I think he'll be eligible for another season.
I can't keep up with him.
I mean, I think it's a 20-round draft. You have to see where you fall and that kind of thing. Or you might want to just head out and begin a pro career and try to make it that way. I don't know. He's got to go to the transfer portal, I guess, and get some dudes. So we'll see how that plays out. I was in Destin last week for SEC meetings. College football, I mean, the SEC football schedule not determined yet, still deciding between a 9- and 8-game format, whether you're going to have three permanent opponents or one permanent opponent, and then 7 rotating or 6 rotating with the 9-game schedule. You're talking about you're going to have Florida on the schedule either way. If you're Georgia, you would have Auburn on there if you go to the 3 permanent, and then you have somebody else. We'll see how that plays out. A lot of talk about it, but no action yet. You know, maybe a couple months away from determining it, and one of the sticking points is Georgia. The SEC doesn't know what the playoffs are going to look like after 2025, because there's no new deal for the playoffs.
You mean there was more talk there than Jimbo and Saban? That's all I saw.
Yeah, they didn't really have much to say. I mean, they kind of, you know, Saban at least said he didn't have a problem with Jimbo, and I don't know. You know, will that be still an issue? What will they say next month when they come to Atlanta for the SEC media days? No divisions are going to be under either of those formats.
Pods? Is that the hot?
No, they're not going to be pods, but just one 16-team deal like you have in basketball. Well, speaking of basketball, though, you're going to have now every team in the SEC tournament. I mean, if you go into the SEC tournament as a 16 seed, I mean, that's kind of embarrassing, I'm just saying.
Well, yeah. I mean...
And Georgia was last this year.
Yes, they were. One win, they'll do that. Hey, they also have they'll have a 7th-year player next year.
Jalen Ingram got a chance to talk to him last week. Had a story up on Online Athens. 5 years at Florida Atlantic. His 6th year was last year, the COVID season, and then he has another year now after gaining another redshirt year. So year number 7 for Ingram as he comes off the ACL. You have 7 newcomers, 6 transfers. I don't know. I guess the roster looks like it's better than it was. The key thing is you got Kerry Okwendo back. You got Braylon Bridges back. Maybe you can get more out of Jabri Abdur-Rahim, who was a top 50 recruit in high school, dealt with some injuries at Virginia, and then came off the bench all year last year. I mean, for a team that only had 1 win, I don't know why you could get that guy in the start lineup, but I guess you got to play your way in. Hey, Ryan, did you see Shane Beamer in South Carolina did a full house video for their incoming newcomers?
I saw the video, but I didn't have the sound on. I can't remember why, if I was in somewhere that I couldn't listen to it, but that's kind of cool.
What I would like to see, how about Georgia doing like a Welcome Back Cotter deal?
No, I think family matters.
Stetson Bennett as Juan Epstein. You know, I don't know who would play Cotter. Which one did you say?
I mean, Family Matters and Full House, you know, were in that same thing where they had the same type of intro with the, you know, the funny thing where they would pause and smile at the camera type deal.
Speaking of Stetson Bennett, all right, let's knock this out.
All right.
This came about not because of the preseason magazines, but for USA Today Sports Network, Gannett. We were asked, all the writers that cover the various FCC teams, to come up with a list of guys from your team that you cover, whether that you think they are one of the 10 best at their position in the SEC. Now, some positions, including tight end, only 5, I guess, because they say, you know, most schools or many schools don't employ as many tight ends as Georgia does. All right, so, you know, in retrospect, I might have overlooked a guy, but who would you say, let's go position by position, whether Georgia has a guy worthy of saying he's among the top 10 in the SEC? Stetson Bennett, like, if I had a top 5 in the SEC, he'd be in there. He might even be a top 3. All right, take that, critics. I don't know. But he's on my list. He's in yours, too?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
I mean, you only got 14 freaking teams. You know, you got to be... If you're one of the bottom, you know, 4 guys, then you're not making the list. But, I mean, you know.
I mean, I think if you go by stats, I mean, there's nobody.
What about running back? Who are you putting... Do you have anyone in Georgia that you're putting in the top 10 running backs in the SEC?
Ooh, I mean... You know, we've seen some flashes from Kenny McIntosh. Kendall Milton, I think, if he can stay healthy, is a star. You know, I can't think of every running back off the top of my head, you know, like a Tank down in Auburn, stuff like that. I put pretty high. And but, yeah, I mean, I think Georgia has a – I think they always produce a running back that's top 10 in the SEC. So, yeah.
I put McIntosh in. You know, Kendall, I need to see a little bit more from. 328 rushing yards for McIntosh, 222 receiving yards, and that's with James Cook and Zamir White ahead of him. All right,
hey, do you have the touchdown pass on his resume as well?
He does. All right, wide receiver. Anybody on Georgia you putting on that list?
You know, I mean, you lose George Pickens, who would definitely have been on that list. I mean, you know, Ladd gets overlooked last year. I think he kind of slowed down as the year went on. But who do you have on? Did you have somebody on the list?
I had a guy named A.D. Mitchell.
Yeah.
Some call him Adonai or...
yeah. he did have a strong first campaign there.
Yeah. Didn't he catch a pass against Alabama, I kind of remember?
Yeah, that was a hell of a catch. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, 29 catches, 426 yards, 4 touchdowns. He made my list. All right, tight end. You're saying these guys are among the best 5 tight ends in the SEC. Who are you putting on there from Georgia?
Well, obviously, Brock is the number one in the country and maybe one of the best we've seen ever at the position at the college level. And that was just his freshman year. And, of course, then you have Washington, who is a beast, and we hadn't really seen all that he's capable of just yet. So, I mean, that could be 1 and 2 right there, couldn't it?
All right, I did not put Darnell on my list. I want to see a little bit more production, which is, you know, it's not really his fault because there's so many talented guys at Georgia. And like you mentioned, George Pickens was, well, he went on the team for too much last year. He didn't play too much. But
and that's not even including.
I'm putting in Eric Gilbert.
Arik
Gilbert. He's just based off what I saw in the spring from the dude.
Yeah.
I mean, Darnell might, you know, is he 6th or 7th in the SEC? I mean, I could see either of those guys. You know, being the next guy after Bowers. So, I mean, Georgia might have 3 of the best.
Yeah, 1, 2, and 3.
Well, I don't know about that, but.
I mean, obviously the talk last year, you know, well, Gilbert will move to more of a receiver type of role, which I guess we didn't see in the spring, right?
Well, but, I mean, that's not happening anymore.
I know, but yeah. I could see him, you know, splitting out or doing more than just that tight end as it evolves.
I mean, I think Bowers is more like a split out guy now in terms of body type than Gilbert. You know, I don't know what his weight is now, but he was pretty big in the spring. Although, what?
Yeah. Speaking of Bowers, what do you think about the cute little image that the Georgia football account put out the other day of the little players?
I didn't see it. I'll have to go look at it.
Oh man, go look at it.
Didn't know. We got to roll through these. I got
all
some
right,
more
go,
to go.
Go.
Offensive line. Who among Georgia's offensive line would you say is in the top 10?
I'd say Cedric at center.
Yeah, he's the first one I had. Now, who's your second?
McClendon?
Yeah, I'm putting McClendon. Now, I say this because Broderick Jones, I think he made a first-team All-SEC by one of the preseason magazines. And I'm not ready to go there yet.
Yeah.
I think McClendon is underrated, and I'm giving him his props. If I'm taking a Georgia tackle now, I'm putting McClendon. Now, I know he's not a left tackle. He's at right tackle, but third-year starter. Undervalued in my mind.
Definitely.
All right, on defense, let's roll through this. Defensive line, obviously Jalen Carter's there. Anybody else in Georgia's defensive line you can put on there?
Oh, Lord.
The answer is no, not yet.
I was trying to think of who's got to be replaced, and there's a lot to replace on that line. So, yeah.
Outside linebacker at Georgia, who you putting there?
I mean, you got to have Nolan, right?
Nolan's there. Is Robert Beal, who led Georgia in sacks, is he one of the top 10
outside linebackers? Golly, isn't that a stat for that Georgia defense?
Yeah.
I mean, I say put Robert on there. What a journey he's had while he's here. But
I'm not putting him on there yet. I want to see a little bit more. I mean, he did, you know, stepped up when Anderson got removed from the team. And he's certainly, I would say, a guy that's kind of under the radar. So if he's being as productive to start the season, you know, I mean, I wonder if he was a product of, you have 5 first rounders on that defense. I mean, offensive coordinator's got to account for all those dudes, and maybe Beal kind of took advantage of that situation. Who else? What about the inside linebackers with those 3 guys gone?
Yeah, I was going to say, nobody's proven yet. I think it could be by the end of the year.
It could be Dumas Johnson by the end of the year, but not yet.
Right.
All right, how about DBs? Anybody you put in the top 10?
I mean, Keeley, right? You know, after the...
Keeley Ringo was correct.
He had a good year, and then, of course, the pick 6 is what's still on everybody's mind.
What else? Are you taking anyone else?
Hold on, trying to go through everybody. You lose Scene.
You got one pick. You taking Christopher Smith or Tyke Smith?
I mean, Ty Key, what do we know about him?
13-team All-American at West Virginia. Virginia,
right.
I'm putting Ty Key on there. I'm putting a little upside. Okay. Little. I think Christopher is a very kind of a glue guy.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll go with Ty Key just because of what he did previously when he was healthy.
This is a long way out. He was the one with the interception against Clemson, correct?
Christopher Smith?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, pick six.
There you go. Yeah.
All right, and special teams, are you putting, who are you putting? You putting any kickers, any returners?
Well, you got a lot to replace there, too, right? I mean,
is Kyrus Jackson one of the best returners in the SEC?
I hadn't seen it yet.
I haven't seen it yet. He's not making my list.
Yeah, I agree.
Now, it could be a process of elimination. I don't know everybody's returner.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I feel like he did come on towards the end of last year, but I don't know who everyone else has got. And so maybe it's like, you know, local bias. You're like, well, I want to see a little bit more. I'm putting Jack Podlesny on there. I think he's one of the 10 best.
Hot Pod. Yeah, he deserves to be in there.
What'd you call him?
Hot Pod.
Oh, yeah. How's it like a hot pocket? Are they still a thing?
Burn the shit out of the top of your mouth. Oh, got to cut that.
I mean, you can probably just throw a PG-13 label on it. Looking at one thing, the Athlon listing, they had Roderick Jones on there, and that's the one guy I didn't have. They had Christopher Smith on there as a second-team guy. Kyrus Jackson as a second-team punt returner. And that's it otherwise. And they had Robert Beal as third-team, but... All right, we'll see. Now, a little programming note here as we exit this podcast set. Some time off for each of us, I believe, as the July 4th holiday rolls around. And I believe Juneteenth is actually a holiday, Ryan, so you can take that day off as well.
I will, yeah.
So we'll see you next time. We just check your podcast, I guess, app on your phone, and you'll roll out another one in there. We'll get rolling again and probably go nonstop, I would guess, until the season. Ryan wants to do it like six times a week. I'm telling him, you know, back off a little bit.
Yeah, that's a lot through the national championship that Georgia will win.
Do you know where the game is this year?
Is that L.A., right?
Home of Matthew Stafford.
Yep. Oh, so not the Rose Bowl, which... So, yeah, that cause obviously they're going to try to make as much money as possible. They'd put it in it. That's a big stadium.
Yep. I know you're making some reservations. That'll give you a chance. A little bit away from Pebble Beach to make your tea time, but you can just catch a little. They probably have some budget airlines you can fly from L.A. to San Fran and catch that.
That'll be good. Yeah. We should plan it.
Hey, as long as you are made it this far into the podcast, why don't you give us a 5-star review? Just because Ryan right now is about to go do the production angle of this where he makes it sound good and cuts out his curse word he just dropped. So he would appreciate a 5-star review. Just in the comment section, just say, hey, really appreciate everything Ryan does and also for putting up with Mark.
Yeah, that's the key to all this.
All right, everyone, have a great rest of your week, and we'll talk to you next time.
See ya.